You may be seated. If you would turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. I want to speak to you today on don't let the devil foul up your faith. Now, I preached two sermons on the blood covenant. One was the blood covenant. The other was the power behind the blood covenant. Today, I want to preach to you and to bring you a message that will bring all of this together and help you see the power of the blood and the power of your covenant. You have an adversary. The Bible calls him the devil. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the Bible says if you resist him steadfast in the faith, he will flee from you. Now, I want to tell you something. You can grow in faith, but you cannot grow in righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus has imparted his righteousness to you, and you stand before God the Father today just as righteous as Jesus Christ. Now, I know that that blows the religious world's mind, but he imparted his righteousness to you. The Bible says that therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. And so many Christians, they live in condemnation. They live with the guilt of the past when they are the very righteousness of God because Jesus imparted his righteousness to you. And it's truth that makes you free. You know, life, it has many seasons. It has good times. It has trials. It has mountaintops. It has low points. Your faith was never designed to keep you from the storms of life, but your faith was designed to bring you through the storms of life. Some of you, you're going through some great storms right now, but I want to encourage you to hold on, praise God, during this season. And remember, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I like the first part of that verse. It says, his anger endureth but a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Life has many seasons, and if you're in a season of weeping right now, just hold on because you are headed for your sudden season of joy. I come with a word this morning, and praise God, I preached it to myself yesterday, and I got so happy, I said, Lord, let me preach it like that tomorrow. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one is born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look toward the heavens, tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed God, hallelujah, he believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. He had faith. He believed. He made an unqualified committal to God. And is this? I've used that statement many times. What does it mean to make an unqualified committal? It means that everything you have, everything that you own, you realize that it belongs to God and that you are born of God's Spirit, that you have a covenant relationship, and your part of the covenant is to believe God, to trust God, and to do what the Word of God says. He believed, verse 6, he believed the Lord, he counted unto him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit this. God said, I brought you out of that heathen land. I brought you out of that clubs. I brought you out of the cesspools of sin and iniquity. I brought you out of that so I could bless you. Hallelujah. And he said, Lord God, where shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now, here's the key to everything you'll ever get from God, the blood covenant. He said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds He divided not. Look at Genesis 15:11. And when the fowls, F-O-W-L-S, the birds, the vultures, when they came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. Look at verse 18, Genesis 15:8. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the Euphrates. Now, when God cut this covenant with Abram, later he would become Abraham, God told Abraham, take some animals. I want you to slay them as a sacrifice for me. God said, I want you to divide them. I want you to lay them next to one another. And that evening, God came down like a smoking furnace and a burning lamp, and he passed, or he walked, between the pieces. Normally, both parties in a covenant, they walk through the divided pieces, meaning that if either party broke that covenant, that their lives would be required. But God walked through the divided pieces. Look at that. God came down and walked through the divided pieces, and meaning that he took full responsibility for that covenant. Abraham received the token of circumcision as his part of cutting the covenant. Now, Jesus, as we go to the new and better covenant, he took the full responsibility for the new covenant. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And when he shed his precious blood on the cross and he offered his body as a living sacrifice, he took total responsibility for the covenant by offering himself. Now, Abraham received in his flesh the token of circumcision, but the Bible says he is not a Jew which is one outwardly under this new and better covenant, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is not of the flesh, but circumcision is of the heart. That means that we went to Calvary, we were born again because we believed that Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus rose again the third day, Jesus ascended into heaven, put his blood on the mercy seat, the blood covenant. He took full responsibility for this covenant, and he's given us his word on how to live this thing and walk it out. My subject this morning, don't let the devil foul up your faith. Let us pray. Father, we praise you for the songs that have been sung, and Lord, for the testimonies, for your presence here. And Lord, we thank you now that we are able to hear the word of God, that we live in a country where we can gather together with people of like precious faith. And Lord, we just thank you for the word. Let my tongue be like that of the writer's pen. Let me preach your gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Give us ears to hear. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. How many of you know that Satan would like to foul things up in your life? That's why you need to continue to develop your faith. Faith is not an easy thing, and faith is more than just words. Faith was never designed to be an incident in your life, but faith was designed to be a lifestyle. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a good God. The devil brings all the problems, and the devil will lie and tell you God did this, and religion will lie and say God is teaching you something. No, God teaches through the word of God. That's why I'm preaching to you this morning. God, he doesn't tempt any man with evil. It's the devil that causes your problem. Jesus is your answer. Go and praise him. Hallelujah. Faith is more than just words. Faith is more than saying, I believe God. Faith is saying, I make an unqualified committal to God that all I am or all I will ever have belongs totally to God. If you ever reach that place in your life, you can get everything that God has purposed for your life. If you hold out on God, you'll be like the children of Israel. You'll go round and round and around that mountain for 40 years, praise God. But when you totally commit yourself to God and make that unqualified committal and say, God, I will obey you, that word believe means he made that committal, hallelujah. He had faith, and faith says it so when it's not so, so it can be so because God said it so. Faith is more than words. Faith is belief and trust in God. Faith is a commitment. It is a commitment where you surrender your total life and your total will to the purpose of God. Now, in our text, Abraham, at this point in his life, he was having a huge problem with his faith. He had left his family. He had left his home. He had left his family. He had left his country. He had left everything in obedience to the word of God. And he had this incredible promise from God that he would be the father of many nations. And now, almost 10 years later, Abraham is still childless. His wife is barren. And in his journey of faith, he seems to pull aside and say, "Lord, I believe you, but I need something physical to reinforce my faith. I need a physical sign. I need a little physical evidence." Hallelujah. "Lord, I've been traveling by faith for these last 10 years, and now, Lord, I need something to help sustain my faith." Have you ever been there? Well, if not, just hold on, because I promise you, your day will come. The trying of your faith is precious to God. Hallelujah. And after you've done the will of God, the Bible says you shall receive the promise. Abraham, this man of faith, he said, "Lord, I need some physical evidence." He said, "Lord, did you really mean what you said to me?" And it was at this point that God made a blood covenant with Abraham. He told him, he said, "I want you to take a heifer and a she-goat and a ram, 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a pigeon." And God told him to split the carcasses of the three animals, not to cut the birds, that's another sermon, to lay them on the altar. And Abraham, he obeyed the Lord. And as soon as he had gotten things arranged, all of a sudden, the fowls, the birds, the vultures, they came down out of the air and they began to attack the elements. Fowls of prey, they began to swoop down. Abraham was in the process of cutting a covenant with God, of making this commitment, and these fowls were trying to eat up the elements of that covenant. These fowls were trying to foul things up. In other words, these F-O-W-L were trying to F-O-U-L things up. And when the birds came, Abraham could have gotten discouraged and he could have gotten disappointed. He could have left and let a quitting spirit get on him like many people do. And he could have given up, but he didn't. Hallelujah. Some people think if you're real spiritual that everything in your life's going to run smooth all the time. Some people think that if you get close enough to God, that you won't have any problems. But this man of Abraham, the father of faith, he had his disappointments. He had his discouragements. He had his setbacks. But he knew how to snap back from his setback. That's what the word of God is all about. Many people think that if they have enough faith, they'll never get sick. Others believe that if they have enough faith, they will never have a need. They will never face a problem of any kind. But others believe that if they have enough faith, that they can just sail through life with no problems at all. But that's not true. Nothing could be further than the truth. Because if you live godly in this present world, the fowler is going to come, and he's going to try to foul up your faith. See, the devil, he comes to destroy. You just got to know that. The devil comes raging and screaming defeat. But if you'll scream a little bit louder than the devil, I promise you one thing, hallelujah, you can defeat him. I love that song. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. See, you gotta scream louder than the devil screams. And when you do, and God gives everybody a song, he said, if you'll just sing me a song, I'll show up in the midst of it. David knew the power of a song. David said he put a new song in my heart. I wake up singing. I go to bed singing. I wake up in the night singing. I got a song. I got something to sing about. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He saved me. He reached way over in the miry clay there, and he walked past some PhDs and some lawyers and some fine folk, and he reached way over in the cesspool of sin and iniquity, laid his hand upon me, said, I choose you. Hallelujah. I tell you, something to be chosen by God, and if you're born again, you're chosen. He said, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And Jesus said, if you ask or demand anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Get into the Word, praise God. Feed your faith, starve your doubts to death. And when the fowler comes, meet him with the Word of God. Meet him with some praise. Go on, praise him now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. The devil is always trying to foul up your faith. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Bible says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Say, God is faithful. God is faithful. He will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. With every temptation, he will make a way of escape. That's just how good God is. Look at Romans 8:22. I love this. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. People say, God made me sick. No, God didn't make you sick. There's no sickness in heaven. God didn't cause your problem. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job didn't know the narrative. God hadn't taken anything. The devil came down. He came down to foul up his faith. Amen. He came down. He swooped down. And Job didn't know the narrative. And people preach that. And they don't go back and read the book. The devil went up before God, and God was bragging on Job. God said, there's none like him. He's righteous. Hallelujah. He's a man that loves me. And the devil said, if you'll just take the hedge down. But the problem with most people in the church is not that God took the hedge down. It's just they haven't made an unqualified committal unto God where they serve God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. That's why you need a good Holy Ghost-filled church and good Holy Ghost-filled preaching. Hallelujah. So your faith can rise and you can get a hold of things and your whole world can be changed, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if I can get your thinking straight, praise God, God will straighten that the rest of your life. Go on and praise him. Woo! Hallelujah. Sickness, disease, family problems, troubles, and sorrows, they are all weapons of the devil that try to destroy us when he's trying to destroy our faith. If we think that faith will keep us from the trials of life, we are deceiving ourselves. We're in a war. We're not wrestling flesh and blood. We're fighting against demon powers and the weapons of the devil. We're fighting against the devil himself. Faith does not keep us from the problems of life. But what was faith designed to do? It doesn't keep us from problems. Faith does not keep us from trials. Faith does not keep us from the storm. Faith does not keep us from persecution. Faith was never to keep us from suffering. Faith did not keep Daniel out of the lion's den. Faith brought him through it. Listen to me. Faith did not keep the three Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace. Faith brought them through that trial. Faith did not keep David from facing his giant Goliath. It was faith that brought him through it all. Hallelujah. Can you imagine a 10-footer? That's the way the devil comes. coming at you, and you're a little five-footer. And David, he knew his God. Hallelujah. He said, praise God. He said, you come against me with sword and shield. I come against you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. This day shall he give you into my hands. He picked up five little stones, a rock and a rag, goes running at his enemy. Glory to God. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. And he let it go. Praise God. And God won his victory. Faith didn't keep him out of it. Faith brought the victory. Hallelujah. Faith did not keep Paul out of the storms of life. When he was out there on that ship was cracking and popping, about to break to pieces. Faith brought him through it. Hallelujah. All these people of faith in the Bible, they went through persecutions, trials, tribulations, beatings, and imprisonments. They were all people of faith, but their faith brought them through it. They listed in the heroes of faith. That faith worked for them, and guess what? Your faith will work for you if you will believe God and use your faith. But make an unqualified committal. I have faith. I have faith in God. I'm a preacher of faith. Hallelujah. I decided, you know, that I would make an unqualified committal to God, that I would obey God. I preach the word of faith. Hallelujah. I want to be known as a man of faith. But you cannot have this great faith that I'm talking about and do things where your heart condemns you. The Bible says if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, woo! I'm talking to the beloved. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive it of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Oh, I might be going through a storm that you don't know anything about, but I'll tell you one thing. God knows the thoughts and intents of my heart. And whatever I'm going through, he promised he'll bring me forth more than a conqueror. He said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He said, thanks be unto God that always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. He said, no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Go on and praise God that you have a blood covenant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Faith will bring you through. Now, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we find some awesome things about these people of faith. The Bible says these object lessons, these Old Testament lessons, they're illustrations to show us how to win the battles. Heroes of faith in the 11th chapter, such as Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab the harlot. When I looked at her, Rahab the harlot, I said, oh, my God, Rahab, the hooker, the tramp that walked the red light district of Jericho. But you know, God can take some people that we think could never make it, and God sees the element in them. He takes some of the people that we would disqualify. I don't know why he ever chose me to preach, but I wouldn't have chosen me, but he did. Hallelujah. And Rahab, she believed God. And I tell you what, when those walls of Jericho come falling down, that woman made a commitment. She's the only one in that whole city that survived, her and her family, her household, because Rahab put a red thread out there. The red thread represented the blood. The blood represents the blood covenant, and you're in covenant. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Rahab the hooker, Rahab the harlot, she became the great, 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 great-grandmother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you, God can choose some strange people to get his work done. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then we have Gideon, Samson, Samuel, and other prophets. Through faith, they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They were made strong in weakness. They waxed valiant in their fight. They turned to flight the armies of the enemies, and they saw their dead raised. But others who had the same kind of faith, they had trials of cruel mockings, scourgings, and bonds, and imprisonments. Some were stoned. Some were sawed asunder. That's how Isaiah the prophet died. They sawed that man in two. Some were tempted and slain. They wandered in deserts, destitute, afflicted, and tormented. But they all had this thing called faith. They all had great faith. Faith did not keep them from these things. Faith brought them through all these things. And all of them came forth with a good report. Hallelujah. The Bible says, whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe God's report because God's got a good report. His report says he was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all those within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits. He forgives all our sin. He heals all our disease. He's redeemed our life from destruction. He has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things, and I love this. He renews my youth like the eagles. Woo! Hallelujah! They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What are you waiting for? Why don't you get up and run? Why don't you get up and do something with that faith that's inside of it? Why do people sit in the church when the glory of God is poured out like a knot on a log? You need to get off the knot, praise God, and get to the altar. There's fire on the altar. The Bible says the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. I tell you what, you get in a Holy Ghost filled church, there'll be fire on the altar. Hallelujah. My Lord. What I'm trying to say is, don't let the devil foul up your faith. Hallelujah. See, the purpose of faith is to bring you through everything that the devil brings your way. No matter what you're going through, I encourage you to hold on to your faith. Hold on to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't let anybody tell you that what you're going through, that your trial is because you don't have enough faith. The greatest people of faith, they fight the greatest battles of faith, and they win the greatest victories, hallelujah, because they have faith. Look at the miracles in this place. Look at what God has done. We just decided, praise God, we would pray and believe God, make an unqualified committal, and we believe God will show up and do signs and wonders. And if you've not reached that place in your faith journey, praise God, there are a lot of people here that have reached that place. They have committed everything to God. And if you'll get around them, the anointing is contagious. It's like the measles. And joy is just as contagious as the measles. And the anointing is just as contagious as the measles. And if you get around it, I promise you, if you want it, it'll leap over on you. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you're going through a battle today, I encourage you to hold on to your faith. If you're sick in your body and need help, get that help. If you need medication, go to the doctor. Take it. Take it in faith. If you need a doctor, then go see him. But do it in faith. If you need physical therapy, praise God, take that physical therapy. But do it in faith. If you need prayer, get prayer, but find somebody, my Lord and my God, that can pray the prayer of faith. Hallelujah. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven them. My Lord, isn't that powerful? They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If God be for you, who can be against you? When God cut that covenant with his son, Jesus cut that covenant on the cross of Calvary, he was saying, I'm taking full responsibility for this covenant. All you have to do is believe and obey God. Abraham made an unqualified committal of all that he had and all that he was. Now the children of Israel, they got out there and they got in the land of the enemy. In Egypt. And so God had to send them a deliverer. They weren't like righteous Abraham. God had to give them a priesthood. He had to give them 10 commandments. He had to give them laws of how to do certain things. But Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And when he came, he said, I want you to go back and I want you to see that covenant that Abraham cut with God. Abraham, the father of the faith, he made an unqualified committal unto God. He decided, I won't drink any more liquor. I'm not a sipping saint. I'm not going to do anything that will defile my body. I'm not going to overeat. Oh, yeah, I'll get there. Hallelujah. I have to watch and push the plate back myself. I love to eat. Hallelujah. I love seafood. If I see food, I like to eat it. Hallelujah. We got a lot of people like that. But you got to take authority. Don't let the devil foul up your faith. Amen. Nothing that happens in your life is a surprise to God. Why then is it when we have our problem, we begin to wonder, well, God, what have I done wrong? Why is it when we have problems that we begin to question our faith? When you have a problem, it doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong. It could be in this new day of God. God said, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. I'll tell you something. Some word comes out of this pulpit right here. We preach the word of God. And if you want to grow, you don't have to be hell. You don't have to be in chains of bondage to any demon spirit, to any habit, to anything. Jesus, he's a chain breaker. Hallelujah. Jesus, he's a way maker. Woo! One day, he made a way for me. When my life was dark and dreary, Jesus came, hallelujah, and answered my prayer. One day, he made a way for me. One day, the sun refused to shine in this dreary heart of mine. I prayed both night and day that Jesus wouldn't make a way. Then Jesus heard my humble prayer. He answered me right then and there. One day, he made a way for me. Jesus, he's the way maker. Sing it. Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker. One day, he made a way for me. When my life was dark and dreary, Jesus came and he answered my prayer. One day, he made a way for me. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3:12. Look at that. People say, oh, if you had the faith you should have, you wouldn't be facing this. That's not true. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It doesn't say you're going to suffer sickness. It doesn't say you're going to suffer disease. It doesn't say you're going to be financially ruined. No, it says you shall suffer persecution. I looked that word up. To persecute means to trouble, to annoy, to oppress, to harass for religious reasons. God does not cause problems. The devil, he sends the persecution. And when the devil sees you flexing your spiritual muscles, he begins to fear you. He'll do everything he can to discourage you. But God will send somebody along with a word of encouragement. Hallelujah. See, God takes everything and works it to our good. Put Romans 8:28 up. That's not in the outline, but there's a law. That law is called the law of Romans 8:28. I named that law. Hallelujah. Look at it. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you say it backwards, it'll help you. To those that live according to his purpose and who love God, we know that all things work together for their good. Hallelujah. That's a law. That's a law just like gravity is a law. And that law will work with you. God has spiritual principles. God has laws. God has rules. God has regulations. And if you'll get this book, praise God, and get lost in the pages of it, pretty soon you'll find yourself lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. Lewis Cannon, Brother Cannon, came down from Virginia, a black man with a beautiful voice. And he's saying, well, I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost, and he's drawing me closer to the one I love the most. Yes, I'm keeping company with a heavenly host. I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. I tell you what, you get in his presence, he'll change everything. Glory to God. The trials of your faith are precious to God. The Bible tells us that in the valley, he restores our soul. Not on the mountaintops, not in the bright sunlight, but in the shadows, in the valleys, in the hard places. That's where restoration takes place, brother. Hallelujah. And you never had a problem that faith can't handle it. I promise you that. So don't let the devil foul up your faith. People told me, said, oh, you'll never get that. Look at it. Your whole life is messed up. They ain't figured it out yet, praise God. God restored my soul. God restored my life. It amazes me what God has done. I got into the book, and I said, if it says it, I'll do it. And if it says don't do it, I'll try not to do it, Lord. And if I make a mistake, I got an advocate with the Father. And if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He said, I put you right back in a right standing. Hallelujah. And you stand before me just as righteous as my son Jesus has. Because if we confess our sin, he, Jesus, he is faithful to forgive us that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then he said, get to a church where you can get washed in the water of the word, because I want to sanctify you by my blood. I want to sanctify you by my word. I want to sanctify you by the Holy Ghost. I've chosen you. I've separated you from that cesspool of sin and iniquity. So sanctify yourself and act like a child of God. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Abraham, he took the elements of the covenant. He made a commitment, and he laid the elements out before God. And then he stayed close enough to that commitment to know when the enemy came. I said he laid the stuff out, and he stayed close enough to that commitment to know when the enemy came. And I promise you, if you'll stay close to Jesus, if you'll read this book, you will know it. When the enemy comes, there'll be a little voice in you, the Holy Ghost, and he'll teach you how to fight. He won't have to correct you. No, you're walking in the light of God's word. You're being sanctified daily. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when those fowls, those birds of prey came down, they were trying to take Abraham's commitment. They were. They were trying to foul up his faith. And he drove them off. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that the enemy is going to come and try to foul up your faith. He wants to destroy you. He's a thief. And Jesus said he's coming. And that means he is going to show up on your doorstep. I hate a thief. I do. The devil takes your stuff and he takes it over to his warehouse and he puts it in his little kingdom of darkness there and writes your name on it. And if you just sit there and say, well, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, that's exactly what will be. But if you, the Bible says, the violent take it by force. If you rise up in violent faith, say, devil, you done touched my stuff. I got a blood covenant. You can't touch me and keep my goods. I'm coming after them in the name of Jesus. I break your power by the power of the blood. You're not messing with my finances. You're not messing with my family. I come against you, not in my name, but in the name above every name. It is the name of Jesus. There is no name like it. Ashakamu Ramba Rebuko Shatalabahaya. Go on, praise him. He's the Most High God. He's possessor of heaven and earth. And he is a deliverer from every enemy that you will ever face. There are three things that I learned a long time ago. Abraham, he recognized that God was the Most High God. He was possessor of heaven and earth, and he was a deliverer from every enemy. I didn't have to read that twice. I read that. I said, praise God. That's the man of faith, and that's how he operated. And that's the way I'm going to operate. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. The fowl is going to come and try to foul up your faith. So stay in the word. Stay close to Jesus. Keep an active prayer life. Stay active in your church attendance. Come to the house when you can. And remember the commitments you made to God. The Bible says Abraham believed it was counted unto him for righteousness. One translation said, Abraham leaned hard on God. He leaned hard on God, so hard that if God had moved, he would have fallen. Well, I learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. He's my friend and he's my guide. Have you ever learned how to lean like that? Well, I learned how to lean. I got to lean hard, Lord. One man told me, he said, you Christians, you're all alike. God gave me 82 things. I got a long list of who Jesus would be to me if I would just let him be. And one man told me, said, Jesus is just a crutch for you Christians. I wrote down at the time, I had 82, I said, number 83, he's my crutch. Hallelujah. I learned how to lean hard on Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, God expects you to do everything that you can to solve your problems. But you can't have a miracle unless you have a problem. But if you've got a problem, if you can't fix it, God won't fix it as long as you can fix it. But if you will use your faith, I promise you something, and do all that you can do, God will step in and God will fix it. You have to learn to lean hard on Jesus. That's what faith is all about. So don't let the devil foul up your faith. Hallelujah. The Bible says Abraham drove those vultures away. I don't know how he did it, but I know one thing. He made himself a commitment with God. And when the enemy of his faith came, he didn't just sit there and let them gobble up his covenant. Oh, no. Praise God, he rose up in faith and he drove them away. He took a stand. Amen. All you need to do to get your problems fixed is to give yourself to Jesus, a living sacrifice. Make a total commitment to him. Rise up from where you are today. Lay everything in your life on the altar. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you, Lord, because you're all I need. I've got a problem. And God, I'm turning my faith loose. And I believe that if I'll do my part, then you'll do your part and you will fix it. Let us stand.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Louder than the unbelief.
Hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah, Lord. I'm not going to let the devil do all the screaming. I'm going to scream louder. I'm going to praise God. Hallelujah. I've got weapons. My weapons are strong. I got the blood. The blood covenant
comes to fight for me.
Bring it all to the altar. Praise God. Come on, let's talk to our God. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Some of you are going through some tough storms. Don't let the devil do all the screaming. Come sing your praises to God. Hallelujah. Break your power. The joy of the Lord. The blood declares joy.
Woo!
The problems of life, they're real, but your faith is greater. Glory. Hallelujah. Devil, get your hands off my family. I come against you in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood covenant. I got blood covenant. Glory to God. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all sin. That same blood cries out my victory. Hallelujah.
In the middle of my storm.
Hallelujah.
Father, I bless.
bless these little children in Jesus' mighty name. Glory. I bless you. I bless you. Glory. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.